hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. Shit, I'm just... Oh, shit. What happened?
You hear me?
Yeah. How you doing? I almost knocked my drink over.
How's my audio? You good?
Good. You good?
Damn. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Oh.
What the fuck is going on now? What the hell?
It's just my internet's full bars too.
No, it's not you. It's something.
It's always you.
It's something on my end.
Hang on, so I'm gonna lock this door. I got freaking like 10 freaking 8 to 10 year olds over at my house right now.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he's got some of her friends. We're doing pumpkin paintings and everything else.
What the hell? Hang on. Let me make sure all my shit's plugged in. Michelle's working from home now, like one day a week.
Oh, she's taking over your shit.
So I mean, she doesn't use my computer, but like I have to take all my shit apart.
Mm-hmm. And I just want this to be known. I'm missing WWE SmackDown right now, so you are probably one of the only people that I would miss this shit for, okay?
Dude, I didn't.
I want that on record.
All right. I'll make sure not to cut that part. What the fuck, man? Stats, I don't want to hear none of your fucking shit about my equipment. So somehow, some way, I turned the camera off in the settings. You know, like how down at the bottom you can mute yourself or disable the camera?
Yeah.
Somehow I did that.
Yeah. That's what I ought to start doing on the Florida State games, is just disable the freaking the picture, so I don't have to see the shit anymore.
I've lost you. You're for okay. There you are. You're back now. I could hear you, but I couldn't.
Oh, I got you.
All right, fuck it. Let's try to do an episode. I mean,
let's roll, baby.
Let's roll. So, dude. All right. So, you know, I called you last night, looking for a last minute jump on. So I appreciate you doing this, first of all. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, dude, like a lot of shit's kind of coming up and a lot of shit's been going on since the last time I talked to you. So
yeah,
like it might be a good thing. Like, first of all, you know, we got the big Miami FSU game tomorrow night. How do you think that's going to go? What's your projection? Are FSU by 50? Are you going to throw that out there?
I hope we don't lose by 50. How about that? God, dude, that's rough this year, man. My Hoosiers are doing well. My Indiana Hoosiers are undefeated.
Oh, so you're one of those, a flip-flopper. A flip-flopper.
No, I'm a flip-flopper. I'm Florida State, true and true. I'm Indiana basketball. But this year, Indiana football has been really, really good. And
you're like one of my buddies. He was my assistant manager at the car wash. He was FSU, FSU, FSU.
Yeah.
Started dating his wife before they, you know, obviously got married and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And her family was from Alabama, so they were huge Alabama fans. So when FSU was having those years, like in the early mid 2000s or whatever,
yeah,
he all of a sudden became an Alabama fan. You know,
there's nothing worse. Alabama fans and Florida fans are about right here, and then Miami fans are about right there,
a little bit lower,
right there.
Then yeah, the other thing, it was funny because he was a Lions fan, like through and through, right?
So he
married her, and her family was Eagles fans, and all of a sudden he became an Eagles fan. I was like, bro, like flip flop, and like whichever team's doing better.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna help support the family, bro.
Oh man, you know, so Shane Mayfield is a big Alabama fan.
Yeah. I've been seeing you guys going back and forth on.
So next year they start a home and home series with Alabama. So next year it's in Tuscaloosa,
Okay.
And then the year after is in Tally. So we've already made a deal. Like, we're going to each game. And I'm great. My father-in-law is a big Alabama fan. And one of my best friends is a big Alabama fan. So we're going to make a road trip out of it and do it for 2 years, I think. So
nice.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will.
Is that when you guys join the SEC next year?
Oh, let's hope. Let's hope.
You guys are going to get destroyed in the SEC then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, realistically, we could run the ACC. I mean, we did last year, but you see how far that got us.
So here's a thing that I saw that was kind of interesting. And I don't think it's – so there was like an either-or situation mm-hmm. going on with Norville, they said, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said either he did it absolutely right or he did it absolutely wrong because – so apparently, you know, the snub last year, right? Uh-huh. Like pissed him off and whatever. And they went to the portal. They went straight to the portal, right?
Uh-huh.
Grabbed up DJU, you know, uh-huh. whoever else, right?
Uh-huh.
So the problem that they were saying is so either A, he was going to get it right like later in the season that uh-huh. the team, because it was mostly portal grabs and not recruits or
he was swinging for the fences for 1 year and he hit a grand slam. He really did with everybody that was there, but right. you know,
but it didn't work.
It worked, but it was more of a short-term fix versus a long-term build.
That's what they were saying with this year, with him going to the NIL, going to the portal, going to all that stuff. It was take last year, make it better, but mm-hmm. it was going to start out rough because they didn't have that gel, right? There wasn't mm-hmm. that building the program. There wasn't that recruitment, that coaching kind of thing. And so they said it could work in his favor by – you know, a couple of weeks ago, midseason or whatever. Well, I guess we're kind of like midseason now. Mm-hmm. And then they could potentially like run the table.
God, I hope we're past midseason. I'm tired of this. I'm hope we're on the downhill side.
Well, I mean, I know Miami's 7-up and they got 7 down or 7 more to go, I think, or 6 more to go and in a bye week or whatever. Or they said what was going to happen is he didn't build within enough that the team would basically implode, and that's kind of what it seems
but the thing is like our O-line is all returning kids. There's not one that was brought in, and our O-line is absolute. I mean, they don't give him any time to do anything.
No,
the defense will flush him, and then the quarterbacks are like have to make a split decision that they don't have time to do anything.
Yeah. So and in DJ's he's got a couple of broke fingers or something now. So now you guys are on a backup guy.
We're hoping our, so the kid that's the freshman, that's our third string, Croman Hawk. I'm hoping they like start putting him in to see kind of what he is and develop him.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Brock Glenn is the backup and I mean, he's not the answer. And we've seen that the last two games.
Yeah.
So like let's give some of the younger kid, let's give him a chance, give him some reps and see what he's about. That way you know, like going into next year and the year after, like what do you have to go in and go after another top star, like another transfer portal kid or what? But I think he'll be good. I think it's just gonna take him a couple years to develop.
Yeah, that's where I think the NIL is really going to do some damage because, like, I mean, as much as I'm enjoying Cam Ward right now,
you're going to be on the backhill side of it. Like,
right. I wasn't excited about it in the beginning because I was like, big deal. We get them for 1 year. Like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
Even if he takes us to the Natty, even if we win a Natty, like, woohoo, great. Like, Miami's back, right? But then next year, what do we do? You know, like, are we going for another, you know, portal transfer that's another caliber quarterback? Or hopefully, you know, Green Bay Packers scenario is going on right now, where whoever is behind Ward is learning from him, like Rodgers did with Aaron and Love did with Rodgers, you know, to maybe we'll end up, you know, with a good, you know, built quarterback, you know. And I'm not enjoying the NIL deal, man. I liked, you know, bringing somebody in as a freshman. Maybe they sat 1 year, you played him sophomore, junior year, you built, you know, like, and the team has a couple of years of kind of goodness or greatness before everybody's out. Now with the portal, it doesn't matter. Like, you could be on a great team, have a great season, but somebody goes, hey man, we'll pay you $1 million and a Lamborghini to come to Texas. Peace out.
If anybody wants to pay me $1 million right now, I swear to God, I don't care if I kick the ball. I will do whatever. I swear.
You got any eligibility left in your in your college career?
I'll pull a Billy Madison shit. I'll start all the way back in high school, pal.
Dude, listen, there's guys that are playing for 7, 8, 9 seasons because of red shirt and injuries and COVID year. I mean, what, Miami's got that one guy that's like, I think 8 years in.
Yeah.
You know, because he was with the Ducks. He was with Oregon. And he had
he's like 36 and got two kids. And
I mean, like, I mean, I get it. I mean, dude, move on. Like, go to the NFL or go do something. Like, you know, like, quit playing college football.
Yeah.
So that's a big weekend for us, everybody who's still listening at this point.
I thought this was a detail podcast. These guys talk about football.
So talking a little bit about detail, dude, we're coming up first trip to SEMA for you, man. How excited are you for that?
No, man, I'm really excited about it. This will be the first time to SEMA, and this past year was my first time at MTE. So that was pretty cool. You know, I'm going out there to SEMA with the anticipation of, like I said, the Mafia Day and getting to reunite with those guys, and then getting to hang out with you and the Aquatech family. I'm going into it not anticipating seeing everything. That's not my goal. I want to see the detail side of it and see the vendors that I associate with and see those people. I'm not going out there to see all the cool stuff, all the different cars and stuff. That's not really what I'm going for. I'm just going to network with some of the people that, you know, I affiliate myself with and just kind of hang out and see what it's about.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, the 2 years that I went to 2019 and then last year, that's primarily all I did. I just go to the detail section, hang out with the homies, you know, talk to people, you know, whatever. You know, I kind of feel this year, I don't know, man, this year I want to try to find some time to like maybe try to go see some of the cool stuff that's there, because they do have some pretty cool stuff there. I missed it last year. I mean, apparently, like, walked in vicinity, but like they had like the vacation cruiser car. You know, somebody was like showing me pictures and I was like, where was that? And they're like, right over there. I was like, oh man, I was right by it and missed it, you know, and then just didn't have the time to go back over to where it was, you know. So that was, you know, things like that. I kind of want to try to find some of the oddball, like, cool things. Like, I don't really care about, like, you know, the Chip Foose builds or, you know, like that kind of crazy stuff, but some of the cool, like, nostalgia stuff that they have there sometimes or whatever.
If I run across that kind of stuff, you know, it's not like I'm going searching it out though. I see it, that's cool, but I'm not going out there with the anticipation of doing that. But I've heard that, like, SEMA is like, you know, usually the crowds are typically a lot bigger than MTE, so you don't really get that personal one-on-one time with some of these vendors, you know what I mean? But like I said, I'm going out there with the anticipation of talking to a few people, like I said, you and the Aquatech guys and then the Mafia. Like, I mean, you know, I'm pretty excited about the Mafia Day. It's gonna be education day, because Gabby will be there with me for that. So that's pretty cool.
are you and Gabby planning to do like any touristy type stuff like while you're there? Or
No, we're gonna walk
around Rhino or
all right. So when you sent me that text message or put that on her put that place on her Facebook recommendations, I had to go Google it. And she was like, she even did too. She's like, that son of a bitch. She said,
okay.
Oh. You're back. She's like that asshole. She was like, I cannot believe he made me do that. And I said, yeah, my browser history is like screwed now too. So yeah. No, we're going to do some Top Golf maybe out there. Maybe goes through the strip or whatever. But yeah. Are you there? Are you there?
You back?
I'm back. I got full.
Do you? Because it doesn't show any bars by your name.
Oh, it shows four of them.
Does it?
Yep.
That doesn't show anything. All right. Well, whatever.
I don't know.
Oh shit! God dang it! Hang on. That's something else I need to do real quick.
Because
I unplugged the computer and it will die by the time we're done talking to this. Computer back in.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you let your wife use your shit, man. Where the hell's my computer plug?
For anybody that is still listening, thank you for tuning in. To this half-ass episode of the Detail Solutions Podcast.
There it is. Oh, shit.
Anybody that is still listening is a true listener. Right?
I can't hear shit you were saying if you were talking to me.
Said anybody that is still listening at this point, it's got to be like one of like six people maybe that.
Nah, dude, I'll edit that out because otherwise I won't hear the end of it from stats. Dude, he already gives me so much. Get better equipment.
Well, he was one of the six that I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool. You guys gonna try to do any shows or just
So a couple years ago we went out to Vegas and we did some of the shows and if there's something that pops up maybe but yeah, I mean we're just gonna go out there and just kind of go with the flow. I mean she's had a couple trips with the kids and I've had some without the kids and so now it's kind of a cool trip to take with her just the two of us.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I was trying to talk Michelle into like doing this year. Do what?
Was she coming out?
No, I was trying to talk her into what I wanted to try to have her do was like have her fly out Friday and then her and I do like Friday, Saturday, like just, you know, because she's never been. And really the three times I've been to SEMA was for the car wash convention when I went with the car wash and then SEMA in 19 and then SEMA last year. So I haven't really done anything that wasn't like car wash or detailing related for Vegas. Mm-hmm. So, I was trying to talk her into flying out on Friday, her and I, you know, having Friday, Saturday, you know, to kind of, you know, see the sights, you know, do maybe go see a show or something like that. And then come home Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But as it kind of got closer and closer to, she was like, I don't want to fly by myself for 5 hours. I was like, I don't want to either, but bad. I'm doing it. She goes, yeah, but you want it. You do want to do it. And you're going like to your friends and whatnot. So
I don't mind flying by myself. Like, you know, if I've got that middle seat open.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm sitting there and I'm like this, and I'm like, oh, this sucks, you know?
Yeah. But unfortunately, every flight that I've been on lately, with the exception of going to Atlanta like 2 months ago, every flight I've been on has been like an overbooked flight. Like they're, you know, like, begging people to come off. That one, when I went to Atlanta, because it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, they were like, everybody has their own row, pretty much. There was like no people, not enough people.
So get this. So, you know, I just flew back from California last week or Saturday, right? And the first flight was completely booked except for like one of two seats. And one of those seats happened to be my row. Like there was, that was one of them. So I was like, that's so cool. The next flight was from Chicago to Louisville, which is only a 45-minute flight. Not a full flight at all. Like there was 50, 60 open seats, they said.
Yeah.
So I get on like first, like I'm like A5 or whatever, if you're flying Southwest. So I get so I get in my row, sit down. This older lady comes in and sits down in the aisle seat. And I'm like, cool, no seats. Well, she stands up and is waiting for people to get on. Well, then her other friend, her other older friend gets on, literally sits right beside her. Like, I'm like, what the hell? She pulls open this nasty ass grilled cheese, Philly. It was disgusting. It smelled awful. I was like, seriously, out of all the
rows,
you had to sit
all these empty ass rows back here. Yeah. You gotta sit.
Oh, I was so mad. I was like doing this. I was Oh man, it was rough. It was disgusting. That should be against the law. You shouldn't be able to bring food onto a plane like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping Vegas won't be too bad. I mean, Orlando to Vegas on a Monday morning. I can't. I mean, although it'll be everybody going to SEMA, though. I feel like it'll be full with people going to SEMA.
Luckily, we got a direct flight from Louisville to Vegas, and we're flying out Saturday. So
okay, because you're going earlier.
Yeah, we're flying out Saturday, and it's our plane leaves at 4 this time, and we land at 4 their time. So I mean, it'll be kind of cool to.
No, I'm hoping it won't be too bad going out there. You know, maybe at least I can get an open seat in the middle or whatever. I usually like to take the aisle, or not the aisle seat, the window seat, because then I can always kind of like, you know, lean. You can kind of lean up against, you know, and create a little space or whatever.
Yeah, cushion.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love the window seat.
I'm curious, dude. After SEMA, I'm kind of curious to get your take on how you think it compares to MTE, because, you know, I mean, you've heard me say it a bunch of times. MTE, I think, is a more it's a better SEMA because of the fact that it's not as crowded, and you do get that one-on-one with the people in the booths and whatnot without having to, you know, stand in terribly long lines.
You know, well, I plan on making MTE like a regular thing, like a yearly thing, because it's one, it is closer, two, it is more personal. And MTE, if I do go back to SEMA, I might not do the full thing. Like I'll probably do, like I said, fly out for the education day, for the Mafia education day, and Rennie's party, and then jet after that.
Yeah.
Which usually is in with like 2 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I plan on doing and hopefully doing MTE every year. If everything works out the way it should. That's
cool. You're gonna
that way.
You gonna throw your skills down in the paint correction competition? No.
No, sir.
Tough like that.
I'll come watch it.
I'm good, but I'm not that good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. You know what I mean?
Me too. Like, me too. I don't need that brag. I do.
I'll come hang out with you and let you watch you do your thing, and
I'm not doing it. I'll be an Aqua Tech booth.
I'll support it.
a million miles away. Yeah.
I'll support it. I just don't, I know I'm not like, you know what I mean? Like I'm yeah. still pretty fresh into it. I've only been doing it for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So it is what it is, but.
Ooh, yeah. From startup shops to seasoned pros, we tailor high-octane websites that resonate with your customers and showcase your expertise. Yeah, Justin Lobato of JL Showroom Auto Salon says, "Detailer's roadmap supercharge my leads. Custom writing, incredible customer care, and a road to success paved with expertise." Detailer's roadmap knows how to supercharge your digital presence. It's your turn to rev up your business. Visit detailersroadmap.com. Leave the competition in the rear view mirror. Ooh, yeah.
I'm kind of excited for it. Sheldon texted me yesterday and said that Mike Phillips hit him up and said he wants in on the competition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about those bragging rights, right?
Yeah.
I beat Mike Phillips in a paint correction competition, you know?
Yeah.
you know, I know Persia's dying to get in on it. Like, he wants to get in on it. I heard some of the Lake Country pros want to get in on it. There could be some heavy hitters end up signing up for this thing.
Yeah, then you got little old me who's been doing it 4 or 5 years, and it's like,
you know, but that's the thing though. Like, you know, I think I want to try to say this the right way.
I know what you're trying to say. Yeah,
you know, just because you've got a name doesn't mean that you're the best. You know,
true. No, that's very true. But
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys building cool ass cars in their garages and, you know, probably better than some of those big names you see on TV, you know? Yeah. So, you know,
I hope it's a good competition, like, you know, friendly competition. I hope it doesn't turn into, which I think it will. I think it'll be good.
I think it will too. I mean, obviously, you know, like I said in the live, there's going to be the keyboard warriors, the people that don't even sign up for it. That didn't even go to the competition to see what it's about and everything, but
better gonna talk shit about it too. Like,
oh, of like, course. Look,
it's all in fun, man. Of it's not course. Like it's, you yeah. know what I mean? It's
yeah.
This is not the World Series or the Super Bowl or right. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's for fun. It really is. It's just
the thing is I feel that Sheldon and I have put together a really good committee. We've kind of thought of everything, you know, that we could that would make it you know, a disaster. And, you know, and I hate to talk negatively, but I don't think if it would have happened at the beginning of this year, I think it would have been terrible because
of everything that happens. And
there wasn't as much communication as I feel that me and Sheldon have had this year with it. So it could have been very disasterly.
It was a good thought, but it wasn't.
It wasn't planned properly. This year, I think we've done a pretty good job planning it. Is it 100%? No. And me and Sheldon know that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but we've got it pretty good, and then we know right. We can use this as a baseline to go, where did we make a mistake? Where did we go wrong? How do we go better? Or what did we do good that maybe next year we can do better? So it's cool. It's cool. From what I've heard, I haven't heard any negativity yet. I don't know if it's just because I'm not, you know, in the channels or whatever, but the things that I'm hearing from some of the people is, you know, there's some people that you're like, oh shit, like these people want in on it, you know? So, Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that. Excited for see how it goes.
Fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell, I'll probably learn something, a thing or two, by watching people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I take something away from that, then hell.
Yeah, exactly. So you, I want to talk to you because we haven't really talked a lot about it. You did the Warbird deal a few months back, man. How was that?
Man, that was really cool. It was really, it was a fun experience. Something that, you know, when I joined the group, I kind of hoped that to be a part of. And it was definitely an experience. You know, like I said, I'm pretty new into this still, 4 or 5 years. So I'm still learning. And, I never thought that like I would, when I started it, I never thought it would take me to doing projects like that. I hoped it would at one point, but you know, by doing that, you know, one of my long-term goals is to be on Air Force One and, to be able to preserve a plane like that, would be really cool. That's been a long-term goal of mine. And that project, kind of opened my eyes onto how like that the bigger projects are ran. But it was really fun. We had a really good group of people that were out there, men and women from across the country. And even, one of the guys from Costa Rica came in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. But it was definitely fun. It was a very, very well thought out and planned out project by Anthony Aguilar in El Paso, and he did a really good job setting it up and executing it. And luckily, when we were out there, they invited us back for next year. So that's really cool.
No, so
it's gonna become a yearly thing, I do believe.
That's cool. So for people that are listening that maybe don't understand what the Warbird Memorial, it's Warbird Memorial Museum, right? Or
the War Eagle Museum. War Eagle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So explain what that is for people listening that maybe don't fully understand or haven't heard of it.
So they've got a bunch of airplanes from historic airplanes that were in World War One, World War Two. The Korean War, some very older planes, and classic cars. Also, we did a 1935 Packard, and some older classic cars. And it's just a museum that shows off some of those aircraft. And actually, with the plane, so while I was out there, I was selected as one of the team leads. To be in charge of a group of guys, and the plane that I was responsible for was a DC-3 that was it dropped off paratroopers at Normandy during D-Day.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was really really cool. And one of the people out there actually opened up the inside, so we got to go in and see it, and kind of a humbling experience. But the museum is just a museum that kind of showcases some of those historic planes and kind of tells a little story about each one. I mean, there was a ton of them in there, and we got to put our hands on quite a few of them. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Is it like a private owned museum, or is it, because I know like the Air Force One is like part of the Boeing Museum out in Seattle. So
I'm pretty sure it's privately owned. I know some of the planes out there are privately owned or donated to the museum. That I don't know 100% if it's. I'm pretty sure it was a privately owned airport.
Yeah.
Or museum.
No, that's cool, man. So you're gonna try and do that every year, or at least like sign up for it, because you do have to with the mafia, you do have to kind of like apply for it, right? Yeah.
I'm gonna. That's in the works. Like I said, next year I'll be eligible for the Air Force One. It'll be my first year eligible, so I'm gonna apply for that. I'd like to. It's just gonna, you know, depend on kind of my travel schedule next year, because this year was a lot. I mean, with MTE, the War Eagles, SEMA.
spring break family vacation. I mean, I had so much travel last year that it was a lot. I mean, it was like,
I know every time I saw your Facebook, I was like, dude, how's this guy even work to pay for these trips? He's always gone.
It was wild, man. So like next year, I'm hoping to be a part of, to be selected for that. We'll see how that goes. I'd also like to give some of the other guys a chance to be able to that opportunity to go out there and do that. So
yeah. But if you don't get Air Force One, you're gonna be like, yeah.
Well, it's before Air Force One, so it's like in the middle end of April.
Okay.
And then I'm planning on going out to Noxies at the end of February, 1st of March. So I mean, I've got that. I've got MTE. So it's like back to back to back to back months, and it's just like, man. So I'm not sure. I'd like to, but
I've got another one for you. You might have to go to. This is breaking.
Oh, here we go.
So it's tentatively. So everybody is listening. So tentatively, the last weekend in July, which is the 26th, 27th, Maddie up at Gloss University asked us to do a collab with them for that weekend. Do a little Gloss U Aquatech. So.
Where is that at?
It'll be in Chicago.
I'll say that's a little closer. So
yeah,
I'll get selected for Air Force One, then I might be there. I might be able to drive up 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. So it's we haven't worked out all the deets yet. And hopefully he doesn't get mad at me for saying it because not everything's done. But he's like, hey man, this weekend, we'd love to invite you guys out to
that's cool.
do a little joint sesh, and you know, they could I think what he was talking about is like, you know, day two just kind of be like, hey, if anybody wants to go get certified with Aquatech, the Aquatech's over there, and let us do our thing or whatever. So don't tell anybody yet though.
For all you loyal listeners that are
yeah.
35.
Yeah. Yeah. So
breaking news.
yeah. So that's our tentative date. Hopefully fingers crossed it all works out. Man, I'd love to do something with the Gloss University guys. I mean, you know, I mean they're great friends anyways, and I totally, you know, 100% believe in what they're doing with trainings versus some of these other people out there that I feel, you know, just taking advantage of people. I think that'll be fun, man.
I got a funny story to tell you about some quote unquote trainings off air.
All right. Damn. I thought we got some juiciest stuff on there.
No, it'll make you chuckle though. It'll make you chat. It'll make you laugh.
I got you. Yeah. So other than the Aquatech with Noxy training and trying to do Air Force One, what other things are you planning on for next year? Because I know when I was trying to plan the thing with doing another one with Noxy, that was kind of the thing. I wanted to let you know early because I know you kind of plan, you know, your year out.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to go. So I just got back from the Detailing Success training out in California, Big Bear, with Rennie. And I did that in 22. And then last year I went out as an intern for the first time. And then this past, like I said, last week, I was out there interning again. So that's something I like to do every year. Okay. I don't know 100% if I'm going to do it again next year, only for the fact of, like I said, I've got a lot of stuff planned out, but they're also going to be doing a leadership course out there that I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but I think that would be something that would be good for you.
Yeah, I'm not a leader. I'm a follower, dude.
it'll turn you into a leader.
I don't want to be a leader though, dude. Like,
I don't.
I'm, look, man. You know, if I was your age, I'm getting to that point where, you know, I'm ready to giddy up on down the road, you know. Like, I'm trying to find my, you know, hopefully, you know, Aquatech's had some good growth this year. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully within the next year or two, we get mm-hmm. to a point to where, you know, I can, you know, make a decent living off of that and still mm-hmm. do something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
But pull back out of the shop, you know, pull back out of some of the other, you know, things or whatever. So yeah, dude, I'm not trying to be a leader right now.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I loved interning out there and it's opened my, it's definitely
yeah.
been a, it's a very, very cool experience to do that and be a part of. But some of my goals within our group are to eventually one day, like, be on the board there, the yeah. advisory board. And
oh, that's awesome. You
know, and that's kind of like, that's something that I want to work into and build up. And so I think this course would help me develop some my leadership skills.
Yeah.
So I still might go out and intern and do them both. I just gotta be kind of cautious on, like I said, what I'm doing and how much I'm traveling next year.
Yeah. Well, and you know, kind of like me, although I kind of got shafted out of traveling this year, but you've got a daughter in cheer and
yeah.
there's travel involved with that. That
let me tell you. Let me tell you.
I know. I'm disappointed, dude. I was expecting to hit Broadway Street with you, dude, do a little boot scooting boogie, you know, hanging out in Nashville. And yeah. then I got the tap. Like,
hey, it's still a long ways away, pal. You'll
I
end
know,
up.
I know.
I have a feeling you'll be there.
I don't know. Things could change. Things could change. I mean, you know, but Michelle's already got.
We're gonna start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, Michelle's already got everything booked for her and Hales, so I gotta stay home with the cat and the dog. Kind of the same thing. Same thing for Atlanta, dude. They're
how many bottles of Aquatech Singular do we need to sell for you to get you out there?
Dude, a lot. A lot. No, yeah, a lot. we gotta sell about how many would we have to sell to get me out there? we'd probably have to sell we'd probably have to sell about 10 or 12 bottles.
That's it.
Yeah, to get me out there on top of all the normal stuff that I sell during the month or whatever.
Hey, Efrain, if you're listening, pal, let's go.
Yeah. No, so dude, check this out. this is how I tried to scheme Aquatech paying for my way to cheer sport. Was I was trying to plan the Noxy Aquatech training on the weekend of the 14th, 15th, and 16th of February versus the beginning of March.
Uh-huh.
Because that's when Cheer Sport is in Atlanta. So
hey.
I figured, hey.
Kill two birds with one
stone. Yeah, I'll get Aquatech to pay for me to fly up Friday.
Yeah.
Go hang out at Noxy's like I would normally do anyways when we fly up there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but the only thing was is we don't know when, you know, obviously we don't know when the performance block is. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, like I don't want to be Ubering back and forth,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see her compete and like leave the training, you know, to go watch her compete and then Uber back. Cause it's not it, dude, it's from downtown Atlanta to Marietta. It's like 35 miles, you know? So it's not, it's not a cheap Uber ride, to go back and forth for 2 days. So I was like, man, like, you know, and I have to like leave in the middle of the training, you know, to take a 30-minute Uber ride into Atlanta, go in, watch her compete, hang out or whatever, and then hop in an Uber and go back out and then, you know, finish off the day or whatever kind of thing. So, I told Michelle, I said, nah, I said, I'm not worried about it. Like, you know, cause normally when we go to cheer sport, we go early in the morning. I drop the girls off at the hotel. I hop in the Uber, and then I go spend the day at Noxie's on Friday, and then go back and then do Cheer Sport Saturday, Sunday. So I was like, it's not a big deal if I don't go, because I'm just going to be there in 2 weeks, and I'll get my fill of Noxie, you know, in that time or whatever. I'll be tired of the guy, you know, by the time I'm done there.
How could you be tired of Noxie?
Just wait till you go. You'll be tired of him too. What time are we getting out of here? Like,
I think we vibe pretty well. Me and Noxie vibe pretty well. We got a
short burst. Short burst is.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to learning from him. I really am. I was even talking to Rennie about it while I was out there. I was like, yeah, that's a training that I'm going to sign up for, that I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah. It'll be a good time, dude. We had a blast. You know, a couple months ago, a month and a half ago, however long it's been now. We had a blast. Everybody learned a lot. I mean, I've been like four of them now, between the one-on-one, the Gloss University, the Angel Wax, and the Aquatech one. I mean, I still learn every time.
And they're not all the same. That's what's kind of cool. It's probably they're not all the same.
They are and they aren't. Like, the foundation is kind of the same. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of things he teaches is the same, but but there are some differences, because he does cater it to the individuals. So, you know, like he asks, you know, what are your expectations? What are you wanting to learn? What are you hoping to walk away from?
Yeah.
And then he's going to cater that training towards you, towards me, towards the other, you know, whoever else. He can, even though it's a class setting, like, and that's where I guess like the foundation part, that's kind of all the same. But then he can look at you and go like, so you said you want to do this, right? So here, this is why, this is how, this is, you know, right? So like, the class is still learning it, but it's geared towards what you wanted. And then he could, you know, look at me, what do you want? Oh, this is what you wanted, right? So the class is still learning, but it's geared towards.
Okay. Yeah, you learn from everybody.
Right. Yeah. So again, like the foundation or the outline, you know, the format is kind of the same, but then he does, the changes are based off of what everybody, you know, is wanting to learn or willing to learn or something. So like, and this one that we did, everybody was wanting to get better control of rotary. So dude, we didn't even touch DAs until we were polishing out the car, because the car needed correction work, but it didn't need rotary correction work. So it was just, you know, let's sand the shit out of these hoods. Let's rotary them. You know, Mark, rest in peace, Mark. You know, his thing was he wanted to learn how to finish down, you know, with a rotary. And so he got to learn how to finish down with it. Ben Sewell had never picked up a rotary.
You know, that's the same. Like, I've not ever been trained on rotary, and
I mean, so dude, and like an hour, Noxie had this guy, like he had been rotoring his whole life. You know, so that's kind of the cool thing about it. You know, but yeah, it's exhausting. Noxie's an exhausting person. I love him to death, but short bursts. Yeah, especially when he has to like constantly pick on me because he has to live up to it, you know. So it's like I don't ever get a break. It's just
yeah. I get it. I get you. I got friends like that too. Trust me, we rag on each other all day long, and it's So
and listen, I know it comes from a place of love. So you know, I don't let it rattle me or bother me or anything. But yeah, it's
AutoFiber is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. AutoFiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, what's something since the last time we talked, man, what's something that's been like a big change? Like if somebody were to go back and like listen to your last episode, you know, what's a change that maybe has happened in this past? It's been, well, it's probably been almost a year ish.
I think we did it back in the winter time. It was back like January, maybe.
Yeah, so almost a year.
Yeah, pretty, it was close. Yeah. A change that since the last episode, man, I don't know. Like I just, I've learned a lot about, well, so back in July, August, I had a slowdown. The first slowdown in the 4 years that I've been in business.
Okay.
And it got down to where, like, normally I'm about anywhere from 2 to 3, 4 weeks out normally, on a normal time. And it got down to within a week out. And so it really opened my eyes to, like, that, like, back in May and June, I kind of let off the gas on, like, my marketing and the stuff that I should be doing to promote and instead of just focusing on the cars that were in front of me, it's like focusing on what's ahead of me too. You know what I mean? And I kind of let off the gas May and June because I got comfortable. And so July happens, it starts to slow down and it starts to freak me out. Well, it's like, you know, when you're doing that, you're planning for months out. Like what you're doing now is setting yourself up for what's going to happen 3 or 4 months from now. So I had to kind of play catch up.
Yeah.
And it really opened my eyes into like cold calls and like getting out there in front and like I've got a pretty good I feel like I've got a pretty good foundation of customers that are always there for me, but it's like building on that and you know, so I don't know, just like opening my eyes to like you can't let off the gas. Like you have to stay pedal to the metal and you have to hustle. I mean, like I said, I got comfortable because I didn't have to go out there and look for it. You know, it was kind of falling in my lap. And so I told Gabby back in July, I said, I will never do this again. I will never get complacent and let it coast. You know, it's something I've got to really focus on is like pushing myself to do more and you know, so
yeah,
that would be the biggest change I would say.
When you're marketing, you know, for that, are you marketing just broadly or are you trying to target, you know, paint corrections and ceramic coatings or interiors or
anything, everything? I'm not just looking for the paint corrections and the coatings. I like to market for interiors. I like doing interiors. And especially coming up like in the winter months, it kind of slows down a little bit on the coatings and the corrections. So I'm trying to focus on my interior work now and building that up for the winter time. But a lot of, and I'll be completely honest with you, a lot of my stuff is very organic. My marketing is very organic. I don't pay the Google ads. I do have to Google my business or whatever, and I do like that, but I don't pay for ads.
Yeah.
I have done a few of the Facebook ads, and I've seen pretty good success out of that, but I'm not paying like a bunch of money to like a marketing company to go out there. And because also I've got to, you know, I've got to think like, so if I pay a marketing company and I go out there and get all this business, like I'm also a one man show. Like how am I going to fulfill that?
Yeah.
I don't want to go out there and get, you know, 10,000 cars to do and not have any way to fulfill it. That's not good either.
Well, now, Jerry, you know what they would say is you got to hire people.
No, I don't.
I'm the same way.
That is the one, like I said, you know, a lot of people have told me that and I'm like, no, that's not the reason I started this business. That's not the reason I'm where I'm at. I want to grow the services that I offer. I want to grow
you know, organically and very slowly. I don't, you know, I don't want to have employees. It's never been a goal of mine. And it's actually, like I said, it's one of the reasons I started this business is because I don't have to rely on somebody else doing their job for me to do mine. And I like being, like I said, in control of myself here. And, you know, I don't have anybody to fall back on if something goes wrong. I don't have anybody to blame but myself.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, but I don't, you know, I was talking to Rennie about it last week, and he was like, you know, you're building a lifestyle business, and that's good. He said, you know, I wish more people would realize, like, you know, figure out what they want. And, you know, it's okay to have that. I don't need to have 10 employees or 20 employees working for me and being a big business. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's a lot more problems that I'm not willing to take on.
Well, that was kind of my thing, and I didn't understand it until Alan Medcraft, shout out Alan, you know, told me that. He's like, you have a lifestyle business. Uh-huh. And I was like, a lifestyle business? And he goes, yeah, it's a business that just keeps you in the lifestyle that you want to lead, you know?
And that's what Doug Parfait's the same way out in I think he's in Pittsburgh. And I actually got to reach out to him because Rennie wants me to start talking to him because that's what he's done. He's built a very comfortable business that, you know, he works 3 or 4 days a week. And, yeah, you know, he's not building an empire like some of the people that are out there, you know what right. I mean? So,
and yeah, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's what you want to do, but, you know, I mean, ultimately, you know, for me, it kind of started even back when I was still at the car wash, you know, I mean, it told a story when Haley, you know, was 4 years old. That's when, I mean, you know it, dude, like kids yeah. from like zero to like three, like mm-hmm. they're okay. You know, mm-hmm. once they get like 3.5, 4, dude, they become cool. Like you could do stuff with them, mm-hmm. you know, you take them places. You can do, you know, whatever. When mm-hmm. Haley got to be 4, man, like I was just tired of the 60 hours a week at the car wash and not being able to like,
yeah,
take her fishing down at the pond or go for a bike ride or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at that age when they're, you know, why this, why that, let's do this. Come on, daddy. Come on, daddy. Come on, daddy. Come on, daddy. You know, and, you know, and so when I got the opportunity to start this business, yeah, in the beginning, it was tough because I did have to work, you know, probably a little bit more than I did at the car wash to get it up and running. But, you know, in those years, I was still able to kind of make my own schedule. So like I could cut out, you know, at, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever, and go pick her up from daycare, you know, and come home before Michelle got home, and her and I could, you know, or I used to take her up to the little pond and we'd go fishing all the time, you know, or take her on a bike ride or, you know, whatever. You know, and that's what it became more important for me was that it gave me the freedom to be able to be a dad, to be a present dad, right? Mm-hmm. Like be able to do all the things. And, you know, Michelle gets bummed out a little bit because, you know, she's stuck in a, you know, 9-to-5 type job, you know? So there's, you know, sometimes, you know, like today, dude, like, you know, I did my 2 cars in the morning. It's homecoming weekend. Haley didn't want to go to the parade because she's not cheering this year and all her friends are cheerleaders. So like, she has nobody to like stand around at the parade. So she was like, come pick me up early. You know, so I went scooped her out of school and brought her home, and you know, she's decided that she's skipping Halloween and Thanksgiving and going straight to Christmas. So she asked me to get the Christmas decorations down because she has her own tree in her room last year. So she, since she wasn't in school, she put her Christmas tree up in her room and decorated it. And
dude, she's been not even Halloween.
Dude, I listen.
Don't tell daddy because I do not want that shit going up.
Listen, like right now. I don't want it going on either. But my kid, and I'm surprised because my kid is a huge Halloween kid and a mm-hmm. huge Christmas kid, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you skipping Halloween? Well, they have practice. They have practice next Thursday.
Oh.
So she's like, so she goes, I have practice, so mm-hmm. Halloween's not happening. So I'm just moving straight on to Christmas. Dude, she's already been playing Christmas music nonstop in her room. She's been watching all the Home Alones nonstop for the last like 2 weeks. Dude, she's already in. Dude, she's already got her little countdown 61 days until Christmas going in the room. Like, dude, she's like, we got practice on Halloween. So I'm not doing Halloween this year. So I'm just moving right along, right on the Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's kind of the cool thing about doing what I do is like, it's cool to be able to go, you know, Ferris Bueller her out of school early, you know, and let her come home and decorate her Christmas tree or whatever, you know. Michelle comes home and she's like, you caved. And I'm like, look, I told her, you know, I wasn't gonna bring any of the stuff in. I told her I would help her get it down out of the attic.
Yeah.
I said, but it was up to her to bring it all in. And I said she could not leave it a mess. She had to put it away. I said, because I was not gonna listen to you, bitch, about it just being strewn all over the house or whatever. And sure enough, dude, like I handed it down to her out of the attic. She brought everything in. She decorated her trees, and then she put all the boxes in the dining room out of the way. I mean, we don't use the dining room anyway, so you know, they're just in the dining room out of the way, stacked up nice and neat, and yeah decorated her room already.
Wow.
I know. And I'm ready for Halloween. I'm ready for SEMA. I'm ready for some turkey and stuff. And I'm not ready for Christmas yet. Like, Christmas is still too far away.
It's too close.
Yeah.
It's too close, but it's too far.
Yeah, but dude, she's been in there jamming out this Alexa, play Christmas music. And Alexa's playing Christmas music. Dude, she's got all the Home Alones on the TV playing like one after another. Yeah, it's crazy, dude.
Wow. Holy moly.
Yeah. So so that was my day of getting her ready to go with her all her Christmas stuff. It was pretty funny.
wow.
Yeah. So what are your girls going as for Halloween? What are you going as for Halloween?
I don't know. I might have to break out Macho Man again.
I was gonna say, you better.
I thought about doing like a Stone Cold kind of deal, but I don't want to have to shave all this before SEMA. And I don't know. I'll probably. I think they're the girl. So Maddie is going as one of the. Her and her friend are going as the aliens from Toy Story. Those little aliens and Freeze. Is going as an old lady. She wants to be a granny. So she's going as a granny. And so, yeah, I don't know. I might have to. Did you see the, did you see my fanny pack for,
yes, with the belt? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I might have to do something with it, be like Roman Reigns or something, and get a wig. I don't know. So it'll probably be something WWE related, I would think, probably.
So what did you think of the Mr. McMahon doc?
Dude, that was cool. We watched the other one that you told us about, Who Killed WCW. That one was a really good one, but the Vince McMahon one was wild, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I didn't know. A lot of it I did, but there was some stuff in there that I had no clue on the behind the curtains kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty wild. But I heard that there was something about the works of doing another one, but I don't know. But yeah, no, I loved it. I thought it was good.
I saw somebody use that cap cut of Dave Chappelle, you know, where he's like, even if and it had Vince McMahon in the background. It's like all the WWE guys after watching Mr. McMahon documentary, if he did it.
I don't know. Like, I thought it was good though. I mean, it was interesting.
It definitely was shot well. The interviews and everything were really good. And it's crazy, like, how much it happened in real time where, you know, spoiler alert, if anybody hasn't watched it, you know, where they couldn't finish the interview with him because of, like, you know, when the shit kind of hit the fan, you know, towards the last year or whatever. So, yeah, crazy. But I loved how it, like, went all the way back to his dad. You know, like, I love the storytelling of
the history, storytelling, the history behind it.
It was really cool. And then too, like, because I mean, I watched it mostly in the 80s. You know, Hogan and Macho Man and Iron Sheik and, like, those people. And it kind of got back into it in the Attitude Era, because I remember, like, flipping channels one night and Stone Cold's, like, flipping the bird to everybody, and I was like, whoa, this is on TV? Like, you're allowed to flip the bird on what? Like,
hey, just wait till Netflix, because when they go to Netflix next year,
Well, I mean, dude, with Trish Strata and all those, when they had the wet t-shirt bikini, I mean, I was
every 14-year-old kid's dream right there, pal.
Yeah. Like, but I was never a big WCW guy. Like, I flipped it every now and again, like during the Goldberg NWO kind of era. You know, Mini Goldberg, dude. I loved Mini Goldberg. Yeah. But, like, I never realized, like, the competitive, like, the true competitiveness of it, you know, like, you know, because, again, I never really watched WCW or Monday Nitro. So, you know, hearing Bischoff say, like, you know, yeah, we knew it was taped and we knew people that were there. So, like, in the beginning, you know, oh, over on Raw, you know, like, you know, Mankind beats, you know, like, whatever. Yeah, you know, they were like giving away the finals and everything.
Most of the time you were either WWF or WCW. It was hard to be, like, in the middle or follow both.
Yeah.
You were either one or the other. So I was team WWF, and then, I was like you, I would catch the main, like, once every great while. Like, I knew about it, but I didn't follow it, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
I got into it when I was a kid, and that was a big part of my childhood.
Yeah. I think it's been a big part of everybody's childhood, whether they'd want to be. Cam sends me, and that's why I send them to you a lot of times too. Dude, Cam sends me all these, like, reels from WWE and wrestling reels and everything. I'm like, Jesus, this guy's in Australia. Like, holy shit. Like, you know, he loves that stuff.
Yeah. So, but what's funny is, like, so, like, in middle school, I quit watching it. Like, right before I went into high school, I kind of phased out of that. And so it's only been probably in the last 3-4 years since I've gotten back into it. Gotcha. So I'm catching up, and I finally got to the point now to where I'm caught up on
the storylines and everything.
Yeah. So, and I'm pretty religiously following, except for freaking tonight. The one time I miss an episode, I just want this on record. Is for Alex and the Detailing Success podcast. I used to listen to it when I was out in California.
Listen, man, don't act like you ain't got a record button and you're not recording it. You're just gonna go watch it as soon as we're done.
But you know what's crazy is that, I follow all this shit on my phone on Facebook, and I can't look at my phone now for the next 2 hours after we get off here, because it'll give it away. Dude, I'm like, well, shit, I don't have to watch it.
Dude, that's how I am with Formula One on the occasions when the races come on, because I mean, the races are on early morning for the most part. I mean, we're kind of hitting that North American, South American stretch right now, where we had Austin last weekend, Mexico's this weekend, Brazil is the weekend before SEMA, and then Las Vegas is 2 weeks after SEMA. So now all the races are, you know, like, our like normal times, but now it's interfering with football, right? So usually when they're early mornings, because I do have you know, my one Sunday morning client that I go and take care of. So, you know, usually if they start at 8 o'clock, I have to record it and then watch it when I get home. And so then it's like, and then sometimes like if something comes up, like we have a cheer event, we have something and I have to record it. And then like, same thing, dude, I can't go on any social media.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I start scrolling social media, like all the Formula One things that I follow, like me, Jason and Mike from Aqua Tech and Rudy all have a Formula One messenger chat group. So then I can't, like, they'll be back and forth during and like I can't even like look at my screen for messenger, you know, because it'll, you know, say something. So dude, I feel you, man. I feel you. Because I have to wait. I have to basically like just put my phone down, not be on it, until I get a chance to actually watch the race, and then I'm like, okay, let me catch up on social media, you know, like all the messages that everybody sent me and everything, and notifications and whatnot. So, I totally understand where you're coming from. Where you got now, you gotta wait two hours before you get on your phone.
Or if I'm just like in one of those moods or one of those days where it just like goes on, I'll just check it and follow it. And I'm like, all right, good. I didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
And you've got your girls have gotten into it with you too. Dude, haven't they?
It's so cool. My oldest, she's like in cheer and she's a girly girl. And I never thought she would like that kind of stuff. But this past year I've started kind of watching it. And so she's gotten into it. Gabby's gotten into it. And it's kind of cool now that like, but you know, what's funny is like when I was a kid, my mom was into it. She watched it. My dad watched it. So it was kind of like a family deal. I mean, it's messed up as that kind of sounds like, but it was fun. You know, it's something we got to do. And you know, that was a big thing for me. Like, I like doing my chores when I was a kid. My chores went to buy the $34.99 pay-per-view or whatever. That was like, God, that was like breaking the bank back then, dude. But that was what I was spending, you know, that was what I was doing my chores for, saving up for, was to get those pay-per-view, once a month pay-per-views and watch it. So,
no, that's awesome. So how did Randy, the Macho Man Savage, become like your guy, dude? Like he's,
I really, to be completely
your,
honest,
your t-shirt's over there. I can't reach it, but he's on your t-shirt, dude. You got like two. He's, you got him. He's tattooed on your calves. Like,
yeah.
Like how?
I don't know. It just kind of, I don't know. Like as a kid, like I liked him, but I didn't like Stone Cold was my guy. Like that was my guy as a kid. And then once that, you know, last couple of years, I just started watching it again. And I started watching some of the old stuff and I'm like, I just got into it. And like, you know, like as a kid, he wasn't like my guy. Like he wasn't.
Right.
But I don't know, just over the last couple of years, I don't know. It's just like his, like straight savage, pal. I mean, it's just like very, like he was like all over the place. Like, you know, I mean, he was like, full of energy. Like it was just like a,
He cut a lot of really good promos, man. Like,
oh yeah, oh my god, the
shit he said. You're like,
he's always to the top.
Yeah, like, how do you come up with that stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a thing, dude. Like people like that, I think are pretty unique. Like,
yeah.
And again, like I don't know if he was really coming up with that off the top of the head. I don't know if it was some writer somewhere scripting it, or you know, you never know with.
It's probably both, like a mixture.
Yeah, with wrestling, but a lot of times those guys, you know, when you hear the stories, a lot of times it's you know, they just happen to like ramble something, you know, like the Austin 316 thing, you know, he just like came up with that off the top of his head and you know, like how it blew up. But you know, like I look at people that can just, you know, off the top of their head come up with like these crazy ass sayings and stuff. I mean, one of the things that I love about David Lee Roth is you listen to David Lee Roth talk and he's like so all over the place, but he says like the coolest shit. You're like, how does this guy think of that? You know, and there's a lot of people out there that are like that. You know, you're like, fuck, man, how did they come up with that? That's like, so cool, so meaningful, such a unique way of saying it. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you come up with that? You know, and me, I'm over here like, I can't ask this bullshit.
Some people are just born with that gift. That's just able to be like just flow. It just goes. I mean, it's wild. So, but like my tattoos, I mean, like, you know, like those are like a big kind of piece of me, kind of, you know, my childhood stuff. So like, and they're big conversation pieces too. Like, people will see, I'll get stopped all the time. Like, dude, you really got Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior on your tattooed on you. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Wait till you see the ones I got planned for the front of my leg. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. Like, it's kind of like, it's unique and it's who I am. And
yeah,
so it's kind of, I like it. It's fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what it's kind of like for my kids and stuff. It's fun to watch and fun to, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's cool when you can share it, you know, with the kids and everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, Haley was little, dude. She'd sit and watch football with me. You know, she'd throw up to you, all that stuff. You know, now she's just like, oh, football.
Yeah.
Football. Dude, they have Michelle was trying to sucker me into it. And I said, no, bitch, get off me. they have the Top Gun showcase. What is that? Shoot, it's in November. It's a weekend before Thanksgiving, whatever time that is. And so it's in Miami, and they do it at the campus at Miami, University of Miami. They do it in the they hold it in the arena. So Michelle and Haley went last year with my mom and my sister. Because my mom and my sister don't get to see Haley do a lot of stuff. So last year, my mom and my sister went, they made like a girls trip, went down there and, you know, hung out at the campus and all that stuff. Well, and then they like went down there, they went down Saturday and did like, you know, South Beach and, you know, yada, 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 stayed the night. And then Sunday was the showcase. And then they drove back home Sunday night. Well, this year they were planning on like going down Saturday again. And so Michelle happens to like look up the football schedule. Miami's playing Wake Forest Saturday. So Michelle's like, I think you should go with her and it'll be a daddy-daughter experience. And I said, no, not going. Like, I don't like driving more than an hour-ish, you know? I was like, I definitely don't want to drive 4 hours to Miami. I said, the other thing is, I said, Haley doesn't even want to go to the game. She goes, oh, yes, she does. I asked her. She said she wants to go. I said, does she know the game's 4 hours long and you have to sit in the sun? So she comes home. She's like, Haley, you know these games are like 4 hours long, right? And Haley's like, yeah, no, I don't want to go then.
It's not 4 hours.
Yeah, they're like four and a half, like whatever. Come on. Game
doesn't want to go see the U. I would want to go see it.
No, dude, she wants to go. She wants to go to Miami. We're like, you better get a scholarship or something because we can't afford that.
She can go to Florida. She could be go to Florida State.
No, dude, she does not want to go to FSU. Absolutely does not. Listen, like I could kind of, and it would still be tough. Mm-hmm. See her going to Florida because she wants to do veterinary stuff, and Florida has a really good veterinary school. Yeah. So like I kind of see her doing that, but I don't see anything at FSU that
UCF Central Florida.
So UCF is probably where she's going to land, honestly, because that's 30 minutes from us. So realistically, she could stay at home. Although a lot of her friends from high school are kind of talking about going to UCF, so they're kind of already like we'll get an apartment together down there when we graduate. And, you know, so me and Michelle are like, go, it's time to get out. You know, yeah. You're still close enough to, you know, to be close enough, but far enough to be far enough kind of thing. Yeah. So I don't know. So we'll see. She does want to go to Miami, but dude, Miami's like, they said like after like living expenses and everything, it's almost like six figures a year. Dude, it's like 60 plus. They said after everything, it's almost like 90. So, and then you figure out what, it's probably like six figures a year.
Holy.
You better get some straight A's, better get some scholarships. We told her the only way that she's going to that school is if she gets like.
Is it private?
Scholarship. Yeah, it is private.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Yeah.
You wouldn't think so.
Yeah. I know what you're getting at.
No, I mean, seriously, though, you wouldn't think that. That's
being like, I don't know, I guess I don't, that's wild.
Because it doesn't seem like it's a private, because it's so big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a private school. So unless she gets some crazy scholarships, you know, and then unfortunately she picked the one friggin' sport. Well, technically it's not a sport. So she picked the one activity that you could, you know, not get a scholarship for.
Yeah.
And dude, I don't know if you saw it. Like, I don't know if you get into like all the varsity stuff. Dude, varsity did every cheerleader so dirty.
Don't even talk to me about varsity. Like one of my best friends, Cody, has got the biggest like thing against varsity. He is anti-varsity. Dude. And I give him so much crap about it, but I mean the stuff.
Listen, unfortunately, like I keep telling Michelle all the time, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do. You know, the problem is the guy who started varsity is the guy who started cheerleading, so he owns
a monopoly.
Not only the monopoly, dude, but the word cheerleading, right? Like because he started it in the 60s or late 50s, early 60s or whatever. He copyrighted or trademarked the word cheerleading, you know? So that's why a lot of times you see like tumbling and acrobatics or acrobatics and tumbling or whatever, because they can't use the word cheerleading. And then varsity did everybody dirty by going before Congress and going, yeah, no, we're not a sport. No. Dude, if they were like, yes, we're a sport, dude, it would open up everybody to be able to get scholarships.
100%.
But by saying that, then they can't have the monopoly on it anymore. It's so fucked up, dude. It is so
fucked up. I guess I never thought of that. That's that's insane.
And when you think about it, varsity owns every cheer competition, like dude, Spirit, you know, the Nationals, like dude, everything. The only thing that's competing against them right now is All-Star Worlds. And All-Star Worlds is looked at like the XFL. You know, to varsity being the NFL. I mean, you think about it, dude, like you know, Haley's team 2 years ago won All-Star Worlds, you know, and everybody's like, you can't say you won Worlds because it's All-Star Worlds. It's like, shut up, bitch. We never said we won Worlds. Yeah. We're saying we won All-Star Worlds. Like, whatever, you know, like, dude, it's such a, anybody that's listening that would love to, you know, read some interesting stuff, go read some of the stuff about varsity.
Oh my God. Like I said, when my buddy hears this, he's going to get like, he's going to get so mad. And it's funny because like I joke with him. Like he's like, any way I can screw varsity, I'll do it. Whatever I got to do. And it's so funny because so there was something that happened at the gym and I made up this joke with him. Like, varsity gave me free admission to
all of the events this year. I entered this competition. I won. They sent me an email, and he got so mad. He was like, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah. Dude, there's so much wrong with it. The fact that you have to pay to go watch your kid at an event that you've already paid for them to be at.
It's not even like it's not even that. It's like the price of the admission to get in. It's like $50 on some competitions. On 75, $100. That's insane. Like if it was like a normal competition, you know, like the schools around here do these competitions, and it's like $4 or $5 to get in.
You know, 10, what, $20. Cool. Yeah, dude. And then that's the other thing. Like, I mean, I don't know how it is up there with you, but like when we have them down here at the convention center, not only is it like, you know, $75 for the weekend, but then you got to pay another $20 each day for parking.
They will find a way to bend you over if they can. It doesn't matter.
Dude, I've gotten to the point now where I realize that there's more than one event going on at the convention center. Yeah. And I'll pull up and they'll be like, where are you going to? And I'm like, who's got the cheapest one? They're like, it doesn't work that way. I was like, come on. Who's got the cheapest one? You know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'll tell you a way that my buddy kind of, the way he started doing things with varsity competitions, and it's reusing
the bracelets.
Yeah. So what's funny is he'll send like a mole in to figure out which one it is. Yeah. And he's got a catalog now of like all these different ones. And he's like,
dude, Michelle started doing that. And it's funny, like apparently on one of the mom groups on Facebook, they're like, hope everybody's wearing their purple shoes today, or hope everybody's wearing their pink shoes today, or whatever. They see, they have like, they use shoes as the code. Dude, it's so ridiculous because the people at the doors don't really look like, you know, you just go like this. And then, and they're like, all right, go on in.
I don't even want to be here to begin with. Like,
they don't pay attention too much anyways. No. So, you know, it's funny, but so like a few years back, it was always cash only. You're buying your tickets.
Yeah.
And then they got investigated by the government. So now they went to like it's credit card. Well, yeah, card only, or you have to buy it online and then have like your ticket on the thing. Yeah, dude, it's such a fucking shady organization, dude. But you know, at the end of the day, what can I do? It's a thing that Haley loves, and what am I gonna do? I'm gonna be like, no, you can't do it anymore because varsity's shady.
Yeah. You know,
listen, there's a bunch of shady fucking people in the detailing industry, and yet I'm still here too. So, you know,
but here we are.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the world's just full of shady fucking people. You just gotta learn how to juke and jive, you know, take the good with the bad, take the bad with the good, whatever.
Dude,
Varsity is I just imagine like Mr. Burns, like, excellent, like, you know, with all the money that's pouring into that event. Fucking nuts, dude. So all right, dude, I'm out of shit to say, man. And I'm gonna try to get you off the hook a little early here so you can go watch some SmackDown.
Like I said, I got like 8 or 10
messages already.
Oh, kids out there. So it's a bunch of cheerleaders over at the house. It's every weekend,
We thought we were going to get rid of Haley tomorrow. She has extra practices this weekend, and the flyer group was talking about doing a sleepover. They did it like a month or two ago when they had extra practices on the weekend. They did a flyers only sleepover. So I thought we were going to get lucky that we could have just dropped her off tomorrow and then we wouldn't have to go and pick her up until Sunday. But Michelle's going to take, cause I got a last minute car, got dropped off tonight to correct and coat tomorrow, little Tesla Model 3. So should be a one day deal because no roof, you know, it's glass roof.
Yeah.
And it's white. So some soul in the yellow pad and freestyle all over that bitch. Just, yeah. You know, like it's going to be good money, man. Charge the guy $1,000. It'll probably take me like 6 hours to do, 5 hours to do.
Yeah.
So Michelle's got to take her out tomorrow. And then she has to sit. She'll sit there for the 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Sunday she's gonna take her and drop her off, and then I'll go pick her up in the night because she has 3 hour practice in the afternoon, and then she has a 3 hour clinic with her. She does every Sunday. There's a coach. It's like invite only.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a 3 hour tumbling clinic. So, go have have fun with your cheerleaders. I was hoping to get rid of mine, but apparently not. So,
cool.
Yeah. Listen, bud, I appreciate you for doing this, man. Jumping on. It's always a good time chit chatting with you. I know we kind of talk periodically, but
periodically, like every day.
Yeah, I mean, somebody was telling me, like, you know, because I always like, man, I want to try and find new people. And it's getting harder and harder to try to find, you know, people that I haven't talked to already, you know, with doing almost 400 of these episodes. I mean, I know there's a ton of people out there, but like some of them I don't really know. You know, it's hard to reach out to people that you don't know and try to get them to come on. And somebody was like, dude, like, you know, you've done these enough now, you could probably start, you know, bringing people back on and kind of doing catch up. So I might try to do that and bring some people back on and do catch ups and whatnot. So this was kind of fun to do. And again, like I knew you had SEMA coming up that we could talk about the Warbird Memorial thing, the War Eagle, whatever it's called. I'm fucking it all up, but you've done a lot in the past year, man. I looked at it; it was February when we talked. So,
I thought it was January, February, something like that.
It's February 18th to be exact. Well, that's when the episode came out. We probably talked a couple of days before that. So, but yeah, man, I mean, you've done a lot in this past year. So it was good to kind of, you know, hear what you've done and catch up with you and see what you got going moving forward. So, brother, I appreciate it, man. I look forward to, seeing you in a week. You know, hanging out and talking, which girls are the best at Spearmint Rhino. And, So,
anybody, don't look up the Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas. It's not, don't.
Oh, you do what you want to do.
Don't cloud up your browser history.
Listen, that's saved in favorites on mine. So,
Oh, that's funny.
Good stuff, man. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon because I know we'll probably talk before SEMA, but appreciate you coming, man.
Anytime, bud.
All right, take care.
See you
later. Bye.